Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Well, today we have some time to talk, it looks like. So we're going to start off with our conversation, and hopefully we're going to get some callers. 914-338-0164 is the call number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Also, callers and listeners alike, you may follow us on our social media sites. Those include Twitter and Facebook. So we hope to see you there. And you can find those pages via our Blog Talk Radio homepage, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. And of course, you may follow us here as well. Okay. We're ready to talk.
Oftentimes, throughout the years, I've been asked, what is the difference between karma? When something happens to you, karma that was already predestined.
Well, and then we get get into the murky area of what destiny is versus karmic destiny.
Well,
but there's
karma
two different
that
things.
You came in with karma
that would be better.
Was going to happen no matter what, as opposed to something that's totally spontaneously self-created within the lifetime of an individual,
which would be. Could be a result of karma that's created in the lifetime. So it could be karmic, but not related to past life karma.
I mean, when you examine like this impeachment process, is this karma? Was this meant? Was this written in the books that this was going to happen? Or is it?
It was written in a book. Actually,
yeah.
Cultus Liber.
Yeah.
Some people should check it out and actually read it.
Or was it? But on the other hand, was it self-created within the person's own energy that they instigated this by making choices within their lifetime? What usually the way to start to calculate something like this and interpret it, if you're minding their own business and they have done nothing to instigate or stimulate or aggravate a situation, you could almost deem it as karma. It's karma.
Karma that they came in with.
That they came in with that was already in their life journey. It's already there. But if someone is prompting something, perhaps that could have a negative result, and their actions are deliberately set on a goal to satisfy some selfish need or some such thing, then you could say that it was karma produced within, or results produced within the lifetime. So those listeners who feel that things just happen to them, and realistically speaking, they really don't promote or instigate anything. It just happens. That can be considered a karma.
Okay.
If you rob a bank and you get caught, and you go, well, I guess that was karma.
That's obviously not.
So on the first level, I know we've got a caller.
We do.
On the very first level.
We have callers everywhere today.
On the very first level, we're looking at what might be the first definition of what is the difference between karma and something that we bring on in our own lifetime.
Which can also be deemed karma that is self-created, just to clarify.
Yeah, and that can
continue
into another lifetime.
Right,
too.
You can trigger something by your actions from a past life, so then it compounds. But anyway, we can get into that perhaps after a caller. 845, you are on the air.
Good morning. This is Lucy.
Oh.
How you doing?
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Good. I was listening. Yeah.
Oh, good. Did you have a question?
Well, no, really, but it's very interesting about the karma.
Yes.
How you really know that you have karma with your like relatives, like the sisters and brothers, son and daughter? By the DOB, or
do you mean with the? Are you asking like whether the relationships that you have are karmic? I mean, you can assume that when you come into the world, your family of origin is going to be related to you on a karmic level, because that's how you came into the world. So that's a result of karma, and your conditions are more fixed during a specific period of time, like such as you're a 26-8, 26 years of your life, or a more fixed karmic state. And then after the age of 26, things should, if you're moving along correctly, be less fixed in regard to karma. But I mean, you know, when you have a child, I'm sure you had, did you have children after the age of 26?
I think so.
Yeah, and those children can be karmic as well, and you can meet people that are karmic from karmic past lives after the age of 26. So you have karma throughout your life, of course, but it's a more fixed state for the duration of that karmic period. Go ahead, Lucy.
After 26, after you have a like child, you had I had my children. I think I was 26, past 23. 26, I think so. I'm not sure. Let me see. Yeah, it was 26. My two children were after I was like 26 and a half, the first, and 28 or something.
You were 26 and a half. Well, that was your karmic change. If you had a child at the age of 26, that was a change that happened. But it doesn't mean your children aren't from past lives, even if it was after the age of 26.
Yeah, but then my question is, how you identify what kind of karma is with a person? Just because what is happening, or because how could we identify, besides going to the Akashic records, what kind of karma we have with every person by numerology can be?
Well, I mean, the numbers, if your third eye is opened, will reveal information, but it's also the dialogue of the person that's being read that will indicate what kind of karma that person has with certain people in their life. So it's the information can be supplied to a reader.
Yeah, you know, Lucy, it's a two-way thing. It's just not that your relationship with your siblings, it's their relationship
with
you.
So yeah.
Karma becomes very complex. And usually when there is a family, if you're asking about family members, this can go back to past life tribal karma, wherein these members in your family have been in other families with you. Now, if you know, you come back, you could be a different ethnic, you can be a different religion, every time you could be from a different country. So all of these things become very complex and convoluted, Lucy, to really clearly identify. It's not so simple. It's very, very complex.
Right. So, and if you're having children, obviously your children are coming into the family, into their karmic family. So obviously it's a karmic connection, as you were stating, you know,
so,
it's a two-way street.
So, if you're asked, you know, you might have different energies with different siblings. One sibling, maybe you hurt in a past life. One sibling, maybe you helped. So you have these different connections with your siblings. Some you owe something to, some they owe something to you. a lot of people, the siblings, there's maybe four siblings and maybe one is living in the streets and they have a drug addiction. And the other siblings either have to decide to help that person or to ignore them. All that becomes a karmic situation. Sometimes siblings start to fight over an inheritance. That becomes a karmic situation. Sometimes they all combine and they form a tight group and they all love each other and everything's good. That's a karmic situation. So you have to kind of define individually and collectively what your relationship is with your siblings or the lack thereof, and then determine how the karma is being worked out and what it really means. Some people are come to the earth to join with their siblings. Some people come to the earth to disengage finally from their siblings. It all depends on what your journey is and where you're coming from and what your needs are and how you assess the situation is best for you.
Yeah, and then when you look at your past life relationships, sometimes people that you wouldn't even consider would be past life family members are in fact past life family members, and they're people that you don't have strong connections with. I know that when Neil and I had a professional relationship, he mentioned people in my life past that were past life mothers to me. And that I had virtually zero, there was a connection, like someone lived across the street from me, for instance, who he deemed a past life mother. But I did not have any real connection to her except a few passing words and the possibility of connecting on a certain level. So the past life connections can get extremely diluted. An example that you use is the gardener who saved a son's life. From a wealthy man that you did a reading for.
Saved the child's life. I was at this guy's house and doing a reading, and a gardener walked by. I saw him in the window, through the window, and a vibe hit me, and I said, "Oh my God, that gardener." He goes, "Yeah." I go, "That's a past life." He goes, "What are you talking about?" I go, "He was a father in a past life. Believe it or not, he was your father in a past life, and he's come back to connect with you." And he goes, "Well, this is amazing because he found my child drowning in a pool. And had he not been there, my child would have drowned. So I owe him a great debt." And this story you're presenting to me makes a lot of sense to me, because he wouldn't have believed it otherwise. But when he when he made the connection that this man saved his child's life after I told him he was a past life connection to him, well, it hit him pretty hard. So, you see, you don't know. Sometimes our relationships with our significant others in a past life just becomes a brief passing phase in this lifetime. Everything has to come to its final conclusion. And usually it doesn't come to its final conclusion until everything is worked out. So if you have siblings, that means there's still an intense energy going on that you need to figure out, good, bad, and different, whatever it may be, within your lifetime, so that you can keep moving forward under the best circumstances.
Okay. Can you tell me what is my past life related with the money, please?
Well,
finances or how you read that, how you can read that.
Well, I mean, the first step is your birth date in itself, which has an interesting reflection we've talked about, Lucy, before, which is the eights that are broken up on both sides of your birth date. So you have a 6-2 in your year. You have two ones, which represent a 2 and a 6 in your day. So that's another 2-6, a broken 8. And your karmic number is 26. Equals 8. So you're an 8 master number, but everything on your linear board falls below that 8. So the first step is defining why the numbers appear broken, the 8s appear broken on both sides of your birth date. So there's something in a past life that had to do with power and money that was maybe not so kosher. And you've come back in this life to establish that 8, despite the challenges in your linear birth date because of the broken 8s. But, you know, according to you, you don't have a terrible time financially. I mean, you work, you own a couple properties. So you have also good karma in finances, given that you're not struggling and just struggling to feed yourself and survive, you know, on a base level.
See, your master number is 8. Well, that, like she's, Kristen was suggesting, okay, this involves money and wealth, but in your linear birth date, the 8 is broken up, 6 and 2. So you're in this lifetime, money comes to you, but it's with a great deal of struggle, and you have to kind of put things together. It's just not handed to you from a rich family. You have to work towards it. And it's the reason you said you had a child at 26 and 28. When we look at your master number 8, it's made up of 26. But there's a 2-year difference in those multiples. It should be 24 on a multiple, not 26. So you're always going to have a 2-year difference in life. You have multiples of 8 from birth and multiples of 8 from the age of 26 onward, two different ways to calculate. That's why you had one 2 years later at 28. But that's another point I just want to bring out. With money is part of your energy, but you've got to watch out. Before we go on to the next caller, you need to be careful with your money around other people, with your relationship with others. Like, don't share your
which we talked to her about regarding putting a down payment on a house for her son, and they wanted to be on title, I think.
No.
Yeah. The fiance and the son. Anyway, so things like that. Lucy.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't do anything yet. Yeah, because that is handing out what I. Well, I am very wise and frugal when it comes to spending, because I don't want to fill my life with things, just things and things and things. I'm more junk than I do really. I do really choose what I have. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
What
that's
I eat good. Or where I go. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. But hopefully this has helped give you a little bit more perspective on your own personal karmic situation. Anyway.
Yes, it does. Thank you. Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Take care, Lucy. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay, so we have 951 and then 919. I believe this is Nathaniel. 5157. Am I right?
Hi, it's Nathaniel. How are you doing?
Fine. He's a 28-10-1. I can't believe I remember his birth date. 5157. Nathaniel, we've been actually thinking about you. And I know you called the other day, but you didn't connect with us. You hung up, so you must have had something to do.
I had some other stuff. I had the surgery going? A couple of months ago.
Okay.
And I was recovering, and they found a couple of cancerous lymph nodes where the tumor was, and they suggested chemotherapy. I tried that about 3 weeks ago, and I was having kind of problems, you know, with it. It's really evasive, and, you know, they tried this oxyplatinum or something, made me really cold and stuff. Sensitive to cold, and you have neuropathy and stuff, and I have an injury on my head and stuff, so it was making my head numb and stuff. So I'm kind of scared. I go back to the doctor tomorrow, and not sure if, you know, they're going to have me on. They won last week. They said, well, we have a chair, you know, you need to go down, race down and get your blood work, and he said, oh, you won't make it, but, you know, I wasn't really feeling, you know, up to it, you know, especially getting another dose, you know, and so I'm trying to stay real positive and not let, you know, the glim get to me, the nervous anxiousness.
Yeah. Well,
did they, well, I'm sorry to interrupt. Did they, I mean, have they given you a stage?
They said that 68% chance is cured by just the surgery. So I could move it up to 83% of it not reoccurring in the next 3 years by doing the chemo. But I risk losing, you know, my immune system and, you know, my hair and my teeth and, you know, other things. So it's doesn't seem worth it to move it up to 78 to 80%, although I'm kind of enjoying my time off work because I'm on disability. But I'm just thinking it's going to kill me. I mean, or I just don't like the chemotherapy for me, you know.
Right. Well, I don't think anybody does because it's so, I mean, it really is hard on the body.
It's Agent Orange is what it is, actually.
It's horrible. It's really horrible.
It's Agent. They told me that, you know, they've made many advancements in it. You know, I know a chiropractor that's a doctor in another country, but, you know, I'm not believing it. It gets away. It takes muscle mass away, and your hair falls out by the root and all over your body. And, you know, the dentist warned me that, you know, it's really hard on teeth. And, you know, to move it up to 68 to 83%, you know, but not reoccurring in the next 3 years, it seems pretty foolish to go ahead with it. You know,
well,
I mean.
Did they remove the lymph nodes that were affected, or are they?
Yes. They took out
18
lymph nodes. They took out 18. They had a tumor there, and they had another polyp that I think that went inside, so they took out 18 inches of it, of my colon, and they sewed it back up, and so they took out 18 lymph nodes, and the two lymph nodes that were by the tumor were the colorectal was cancerous, so they wanted me to go ahead. They took the upper GI, or upper mid and lower, and there was no cancer apparent anywhere. So it's just a you know, on a cellular basis, in the lymphoma, or, you know, in the lymphatic system. So it's just, it seemed worth it, you know, to you know, possibly, you know, go through all the effects and, you know, to ruin my immune system and that kind of thing to, you know.
To raise it to the percentage of 83 versus 68. You know, there are a lot of people. 83% or 80%, you said, chance?
83%. And yeah. He said, well, it was 63%, but my cancer, he said it would have been like 68%. So I'm figuring like 70 to 80% about, you know, so it doesn't seem worth it, you know, to go ahead with the chemo, you know, knowing, you know, that it's, you know, going to possibly ruin my, it's nuclear medicine, yeah.
Have you researched alternative therapies? Because there are a lot of people that do like plant based diet.
I'm trying to do that. All that. I've got greens and stuff, and I'm trying to eat really healthy. I'm not going like McDonald's or anything. You know, I'm trying to eat really healthy and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, I would. We can't tell you what to do.
Right,
but,
medically.
But, yeah, right.
But I would say that we did advise him. I have to say, we did advise him because he was not wanting to do the surgery. He said, "I don't want to do it," and I'm thinking about, I don't know, the herb. We said,
right.
"No, you need to do the surgery, absolutely." And so we were right. I want to say that. And not only that, there was additional cancer. It wasn't just affecting the colon. So going in there was extremely crucial.
So your options right now, there isn't another surgery required right now.
No, there's nothing to do. You know, there's nothing. There's no cancer. Only on a cellular possible.
Yeah.
Possible cellular basis in my lymphatic system racing around, but there's nothing. You know, they took a CAT scan a few weeks back, and nothing was
You know, it's a gamble. It's a gamble, but you're, but yeah, intuitively, I think you should really research research ways to reduce cancer and keep it away, and just follow the healthy ways to do it. And there's probably plenty of information out there you haven't even tapped into.
You could go to also like a naturopathic doctor, because they might have some, you know, someone who's
kind of researched.
Is someone who's specialized in cancer.
Have you heard of the new proton therapy? Have you heard of the new proton therapy?
They only have
it's supposed to be a really thing, but they only have one place in California, or I'm not sure, it's in San Diego, and it costs $20,000 out of pocket to do it. And then there was another one. They inject you with an IV of like vitamin C and a mess of other stuff, and that's $24,000 to go there. So, you know, basically you have to, you know, just, you know, take care of yourself by eating right and eating greens. You know, greens is good, and protein, and, you know, I've got acupuncture a couple of times. I go down and I actually get a free treat once a month, and you know, that's what I'm doing.
I think researching further, obviously $20,000 isn't affordable to you, and there are probably blogs of people who have gone through colon cancer that have decided not to do chemotherapy. So I would continue to look at alternatives and try to find something that's a viable alternative before you completely stop treatment. However, I mean, personally, I would not want to go through chemotherapy either. It sounds like the gap of survival is not a huge one that would, you know, it seems that there can be research and other methods applied to your career, I think.
Yeah. So I'm supported, you know, by the other side, angels and everything. So I'm trying to stay positive. That's a big factor, you know, just to not let the anxiety catch up with me or anything.
You know, just on a side note, it's not much to offer, but increase your intake of lemon juice, pure lemon.
Yeah.
Like squeeze it from the lemon.
Yeah.
You might enjoy it more with like Meyer lemons than a regular lemon too, because they have a more citrus, like a more orange Meyer lemons. They're more floral flavored, and yeah, I think they're a little bit sweeter than a Eureka lemon.
But we'll put out energy for you, Nathaniel. Continue to keep in touch with us.
Do you have a support system through this?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's kind of, you know, I call up the radio stations and stuff and try to reach out. That's my main.
But what about your family, your brother? Is he helping you out at all?
Well, he's kind of helping me, but, you know, he's pretty, you know, my brother is pretty, you know, I don't know what to say, you know. I don't know what to say.
Well, then, you know, reach out as much as you can to the radio shows, reach out to our show. We'll put out energy for you. And let's see if we can be, you know, in the meantime, make sure your life is valuable. Do the things, you know, do readings, do whatever you can do to help others as well.
That's right. That's a good
Yeah, I've helped others so much in my life, you know. And this, you know, they tell me that this is really about focusing on me. From the other people I've talked to, because I put other people first in my life.
Well, you know what? I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I would disagree with advice that says put yourself first and forget about everybody else. You know,
I'm not forgetting about everyone else, but I put others in front of me and make them more important than me.
Okay, well then take care of yourself, center on yourself, center on your energies.
And by doing that, I'm sorry to interrupt, by centering on your interior energies, like Neil was saying, do readings or try to help others, because that's going to enhance your
oh,
inner
yeah.
being.
I do that so much. I do that
balance.
So much. I wish
just
you
balance
were,
it
know.
All.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good, Nathaniel. And we really, you know, we really have been thinking about you, putting energy out for you. And we're so glad that the cancer was found and that it hasn't spread throughout the body. I mean, that is a blessing indeed.
Yeah, that might be very meaningful, but you still have purpose on this. So support of your journey is to go inside of yourself and do some repair and to take care of some karmic elements. Then do that. Do some self-analysis, do some self-care, some self-meditation and medication, and let's see where this journey takes us.
Hey, Nathaniel. You're welcome. You too. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we have another caller. 919. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what's your name?
Hello. My name is Kay.
Kay, K-A-Y.
Yeah.
Have we spoken with you before, Kay? You're familiar to me, maybe.
I think so. I think you have. I have spoken with you guys.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually in Atlanta now.
Atlanta.
Yes.
You know, I've never been to Atlanta, but would love to go. It's supposed to be a great city and lots of food.
It is. It is a lot to do. It's always a lot to do. Very busy traffic,
too.
But a lot to do.
Okay, what's your birth date?
12/29/66.
Yeah, I'm remembering the birth date first. I mean, I don't remember the birth date, but the birth date's familiar. 11. 14, 5. I had a 5 written down, which is her karmic side. 15 and 12. 27, 9.
No,
okay.
What is it?
12, 29? 12, 29, 66.
Yeah.
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Oh, I know what I did. 24. 36, 9. Yeah, I know what I did. I added a 5 instead of a 14. Addition error on my part. Okay. That's okay. I'm still learning arithmetic. What can I say? Okay.
No problem.
What is your question?
I was just wondering what spirit has around my work, my present work in the situation.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't know, Kay. I'm getting a conflict between two jobs. So I'm not sure at this point if you're considering another job or if something's coming up. But I am getting, if it hasn't happened, there's going to be a conflict between two jobs, I'm assuming, if it hasn't already happened. So that means that there's some attitude that you may be wanting to leave or your job or looking elsewhere. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's where the read is right now. In terms of what I'm getting, whether it's present or in the very near future, there seems to be something around your job where somebody, a coworker or somebody, was in some kind of car accident, because they're seeing some collision of cars, insurance. I'm not sure where that is coming from yet. Putting that piece in there, trying to make it fit. Now you can be more specific. In regards to what we just talked about, or something added to it.
Okay, that is wonderful, because it is I was hired for a role. My manager actually had a issue with her stress level, so she actually went out of work, and I ended up having to step up and do her job and my job. So it was, that's the two roles you're seeing. And I actually excelled in that role. And as far as the insurance portion, I manage the insurance, the state health benefit plan for the state of Georgia. So, yes, you do see the insurance portion, and I guess maybe it's kind of the health issue or the collision issue. She had a issue with her stress, and she has left abruptly. But then she just recently returned as abruptly as she left. So, yeah.
Okay. So we got that pretty much settled. So since we made some validations there that are pretty good, what's your question?
Her return is awkward. And, well, okay, the question is, how do you see our work relationship if she should stay?
Well, you see, she's in a difficult situation because distress is a psychological thing, and she may be in a kind of a pickle here because her need to work is commanding, but she doesn't like it. It's too much. So there's going to be a love hate. Yeah, there's going to be a love hate relationship there. So she's going to, at times you would experience her taking on the role and then wanting to give it back to you. And it's going to probably go that way until she eventually peters out. She's going to probably zone her energy out, and that could put you in position. You know, a lot of people, when people actually end their life, they go through a struggle. They're struggling in bed, hard to manage. She's going through a career struggle, a life struggle. It's not going to take her life. She's going to be struggling within the job. And you're going to see that kicking legs and all that kind of thing. So if I were you, I would probably just be sensitive to that, act appropriately in terms of your specific role. And there may be a chance that you'll be assuming her position because I don't think she'll be able to stay too much longer.
Okay. And I am capable of doing a job. I have to say, though, she and I, we hit it off pretty well. So I was very distressed for her when she went out. It actually hurt me because I do like her. I really, really like her. I don't like her work management because she's stressed and I worry about her. I guess that's the best way to say it. And I don't want to take that on so much that it bothers my health. But I am really concerned about her. And I know she's not managing stress well, but I also don't want it to affect our work relationship, which because I'm trying not to step on toes by any means. I just know the 2 months that she was gone, everyone just now raves about how I managed and how I did have to step up because it's a team of two. So when one is gone, it becomes a team of one. So the things that I had to do, I excelled in it. And I don't want to step on toes, but I also am so majorly concerned about her well-being.
Yeah, if you're just, you know, if you don't get in her way and just understand she's going through the last parts of her career here in terms of this job, that there shouldn't be any problems between you and her. Just let her just be sensitive to where she's at. Don't get into any fights with her. You know, let her be because she's going to be struggling until she leaves. And then, you know, we made some connections with the insurance and all that kind of thing. I think that you might want to start to prepare yourself for this new role.
Okay. All right. Well, that's great to know. And one last thing about that, and maybe I'm taking on too much of a burden, but is she going to be okay?
Well, she's going to be, she's going to, from stress, she'll go to depression. So that she's going to go through some emotional territory that's very difficult.
Okay.
You know, is she going to be okay? I mean, she's not going to die. I don't think she's going to die.
Okay.
But her mental and her emotional state is the thing that's most concerning in terms of stabilizing her. So, you know, it's more of a matter of what are you going to do if you leave? What will your life be made of? And that's going to be a reinvention of herself. So you might want to keep in touch with her. You might want to help her brainstorm about what she can do in life. That will come after the part of her dismissal.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you. And that helps because her departure, she just shut down. She did not communicate. And I did get in my feelings a little bit. I have to admit, because as close as we were when she went out, there was no communication. So I felt kind of you know, bad, but then to have her come back and now see how unhappy she is, how...
Well, she's Kay, she's depressed, so she's emotionally not able to put herself out. So you might want to start to prepare for a friendship that says, hey, I want to be your friend, no matter what.
Okay.
Time and space, I want to be your friend.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Okay.
So that might be one way to start to link the connection.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Because she's very, very private, very closed. And I mean, we do have a good relationship. And, but I again, I'm trying not to take on the burden. But I also know I'm that person that I'm caring. And I see it. It is so obvious. And I just wish I could say or do something. So.
Well, you can, to the degree that we discussed.
Right, exactly. And that's good to know.
Yeah, it'll be small steps. But send her a card every once in a while, you know, give her a call. There are things you can do to break her barrier.
Okay. Well, you guys have been wonderful in that relationship.
I don't think I've been wonderful. I stepped away for a moment.
I'm sorry.
No. I'm sorry. So I didn't. I apologize for not contributing. But Neil, I don't have enough information to really comment. Oh. So, but Kay, it sounds like things are going to work out for you by what I hear.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take
you guys
care.
Have really been helpful. Thank you. Have a great Christmas.
Sweet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. So we are about 10 minutes away from our 90-second warning. Mm-hmm. So we have a little time to talk. So we were talking about karma that one comes in with from past lives versus what's created in a current life. And when that new karma has a link to past karma, there's going to be a certain density in that karma that is going to be evident to any qualified reader.
Yeah, the density will be revealed in how serious the problem is.
And how difficult it is to resolve the problem.
To resolve it. Usually when karma's compiled with past life karma, it's hard to remove oneself. It keeps coming back. That what that usually means is that the karma has been going on throughout many lifetimes, maybe very much concentrated in any particular lifetime. But a lot of people will find that no matter what they do, they can't get out of their drama. They can't get out of their situation. So what's deemed is, what's evaluated as well, is that because of the psychological nature of the person and that's very complex, or is that because it's a sheer karmic situation going on? And that has to sometimes be determined by examining and investigating what the content of a person. And then a therapist or a psychic or whoever it may be can evaluate on what level this person is operating on in terms of their crisis. Is it karma? Are they inducing it themselves? Not purposely, maybe, but still, nonetheless, it's within their own psyche that they're producing this. They're depressed, or they're obsessive compulsive or something. They have low self-esteem.
Goals that they're trying to strive for and cannot reach, and,
right.
You know,
or is it
overly involved
that,
in the ego?
That really is a past life situation that one skilled enough has to go back into and see how to unravel that karma and untie the knot so that a great natural flow of energy can be established.
Okay, let's bring on this caller. I recognize the phone number, but cannot attach it to a name. Who's calling, please?
It's Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer. I don't know why I didn't recognize your phone number. But that's okay. 4370. Hi.
Hi. My mom and I, we had this discussion, and I know that her and I have had many lives together.
What's her birthday?
I just know
just
that.
Curiosity.
Her birthday?
Yeah.
Hers is 11/24 I think it's 51.
Yeah, I mean, she holds your karmic number in her day.
Your
24-6.
Okay.
She's born in 24.
Yeah.
So that's, her 5-1 is a 6, which is your master number. Any, but, you know, that's just first base. But go ahead.
Okay, so I did a meditation or a memory or regression or something. And my impression was I didn't necessarily sign up for this lifetime, that I was sort of in a holding pattern. The soul that was supposed to come in for this lifetime backed out at the last moment and I came in, which wouldn't explain why I'm with my mom again.
You're saying a different soul was supposed to come in to the to this lifetime as opposed to you?
Yes.
Okay.
But that was my sort of, I don't know if I made it up or it was a memory or whatever, but that was when I went into a regression to find out why I was here. That's what I got. So that's why everything was kind of confusing when I got here, because I didn't really read the script for it. So I told this to my mom. And she says, well, I was supposed to break up some Middle Eastern war, and I was too weak for that, so here I am. But she says, I don't believe what you're saying is true. So I said, well, I guess we'll find out on the other side. But why, you know, what's the point of telling me that I'm wrong?
What? Wait, say that again. You trailed off.
She told me that, you know, my vision or my belief in, you know, not necessarily supposed to be here is wrong. Like she's some sort of all-knowing authority on past lives, which she isn't. But I can't understand why everything that I do or say in this lifetime, even though she knows she's pretty spiritual and aware, she has to be combative about it.
I'm sorry to interject. I'll let you finish in a second. I mean, the nice thing about your mother is that she's open to ideas of past life. You know, some people from your generation, parents, I mean, any generation probably, but, you know, parents often are not open to ideas of past lives and spiritually aware. You know, there are a lot of people that are more confined to a religious idea. You know, so it's nice that you can share at least a conversation, an intelligent conversation about spirituality and past lives and karma. But go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, is there something in her number or there's some sort of karmic relation that where she always has to be right about everything? So it's just.
Well,
and
you see,
I'll tell you something.
November
okay.
is, whenever you have an 11 in a number, there can be some problems. They're somewhere in the line of action. 11s can get into a kind of a negative energy, and they bring in some negative zones.
She's got it in her first and last. I ended the month.
Yeah. She's got a deep past life. So it becomes a very stubborn way of energy, whereas your mother's has probably a need to overpower you. There's a need to have the last word. Now, if she believes she was trying to solve the Middle East crisis and she failed, she has a built-in sense to her. She's already built into life a way to self-destruct her energy. So that could result in divorces, that could result in self-destruction on different attitudes of life. She sabotages a lot of things. So she has a need to pull in and be gracious and loving. And then she has this anger issue that she hasn't resolved. Maybe mom and dad, I don't know, that she has not resolved this anger issue. So built into her love is also this dimension of separation based on making people angry, irritated. So she's already assumed the role that she's tries to solve and then disengages. So you have this contradiction in your mother that you're living with.
And I want to say that, you know, your whatever came through in your meditation about not coming in and another soul supposed to, you know, take your place, the karma between the two of you is dense, and it's evident in the number system for many reasons. I mean, you guys have, you're the same karmic and master number, your month and day become a 7, which her year becomes a 7, 1951 is a 7, her 1124 becomes an 8, year 1970 is an 8. So there's, I mean, in the number system, it's evidence that there is quite a connection between the two of you. And I would venture to say that there is unresolved karma between the two of you, or otherwise you wouldn't have come in. Perhaps you're right. I mean, another soul may have been scheduled to come in your place in this specific lifetime, but it doesn't mean that you wouldn't have had another lifetime with your mother. The karma clearly has not been resolved. It's the conflict that you're telling us that the two of you have lends itself to having unresolved conflict.
Yeah, you know, Jennifer, it's not like there was a mistake made, like the agents in the astral realm went, oops, we made a mistake, boss. Jennifer came in. What are we going to do? You know?
Oh, no, I know I volunteered for it. I know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and nothing's by accident in this regard. The mistake may be what you may be picking up on is that in a prior lifetime mistakes were made. So those mistakes are carried into the circumference of the current life, and they have to be worked out. So there's something that has to be worked out.
Sorry, otherwise you wouldn't be involved.
In your realm, remain stable, keep your identity, let your mother have her issues or her ideas. Don't be affected by it. That's her right to have her independent thoughts. And just mm-hmm. assume that you may be two peas, but not
necessarily from the same pod.
Yeah.
Even though
yeah.
you are from the same pod, but you know.
You know,
yeah.
there's something, what you want to learn from your mother is you don't want to repeat her mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if you could find yourself rising above her journey, you're in good standing.
Well, that's how I feel. But I also feel, because I see people take the role where they can't stand them and they wash their hands of them, but I don't feel that necessarily clears up the karma. It just makes you have to repeat it again some other time.
Sometimes it's true. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes a harsh karmic separation will resolve karma. Sometimes you have to separate. And unfortunately, you know, unfortunately, that's not always the remedy for stopping a karmic connection. But, you know, it just depends. It depends on the case. I wouldn't say cutting off a relationship with your mother is the prescribed remedy. And it sounds like you have a connection with her.
Yeah, I tried it once, and then she ended up winning the lottery, and then.
Oh.
<That's a> story.
Oh, interesting, interesting. Well, you'll have to tell us on another show. But anyway, we're actually out of time, Jennifer. We got to close the show. Hopefully, hopefully that helps. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye. Thanks. Okay, so we are out of time, and we are back on the air Friday. Thanks.